Hey, Church Unlimited, welcome to Summer Book Club. We're so excited to bring you this new series where we invited four different best-selling authors to give us their best stuff, their latest book. We're super excited about that. Our first author for today is Pastor Craig Rochelle. Not only is Pastor Craig a dear friend at Church Unlimited, but he's an amazing author, travels the country and really the world, and his books sell out everywhere he goes. His latest book is called Think Ahead. It's one of my favorites because really this is a summary of who he is as a person. Craig has got discipline, but he says in his book, the key to discipline is pre-decision. Decide before you get there. So if you're like me and you blow your diet day two and you don't keep your New Year's resolutions until January 15th, right? If that's you, you're going to love this message. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Pastor Craig Rochelle.
Hey, Church Unlimited. It is an honor to share God's word with you today. And I want to say just a big special thank you to Pastor Bill and Jessica. We love you guys like your family, and we love Church Unlimited. Like Church Unlimited, you're like our home church away from home. And we have been, let me tell you how long we've known your pastors. We've been close friends with your pastors long before Cole and Mason were twice my size. That's how long we've been friends. And I want to tell you right now that if I were where you are, I would thank God every day that I get to be under incredible godly leadership. There are so many things that I love about your pastors. First of all, at the top of the list is that your pastor, Pastor Bill, calls me several times a year and will just say, Craig, how can I pray for you? And then he'll tell me, I've devoted like the next 3 hours to just praying for you. So Bill, thank you. Jessica, your friendship means more to us than we could ever express. Good news is, Church Unlimited, we are in a message series called Summer Book Club, and I want to talk to you about a theme that's related to my latest book called Think Ahead, 7 Decisions You Can Make Today for the God-Honoring Life That You Want Tomorrow. And I want to share God's word, give a shout out to those of you at the broadcast campus, at Stone Oak, at Rodfield, at Portland and Rockport and Padre Island, and of course, the prison ministries. Today, we are ready for God's word, and so let's go before God together in prayer. God, thank you so much for the powerful work you're doing through Church Unlimited. God, expand their borders to reach even more people, to fulfill the vision that you've given the pastors to reach 1 million people and beyond. Thank you for your anointing, your power, your grace upon this church. And now we open our hearts to hear from you in your word. God, speak to us today. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, I want to encourage you to think ahead, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but life is short. How many of you notice life is short? Raise your hand, all of our churches. Life is short. If you're not thinking ahead, you're going to get behind. I've heard someone say that the days are long, but the years are short. Have you ever noticed that? It seems like days can be long, especially when you're raising little kids. And then you wake up one day and you're much older than you really thought you are. Some of you know what I'm talking about. In my mind, I'm still a strong, healthy 32, maybe 35 years of age. But in my body, I'm not. Life has gone on quite a bit. In fact, I hate to admit this, but I came home and saw my wife, Amy, the other day. And I just walked into our house. I said, you know what? Our house just doesn't smell good. She's like, what do you mean? I said, it just smells like old people. And she said, it doesn't. I said, it does. It smells like old people. Never mind. I said, forget I even said that. It's almost 4:30. Put your shoes on. We're going to the Luby's cafeteria. That's what we're going to do. I mean, how did it happen? I feel so young, and yet now our house smells like me. The days are long and the years are short. I want to encourage you to think ahead and ask yourself, what do you think your life will be like 5 years from now? If you could fast forward, what do you think your life would be like? And I want to give you 4 categories to think about. What do you think your life will be like 5 years from now? Spiritually speaking, what do you think your life will be like 5 years from now relationally? What do you think your life will be like 5 years from now financially? And what do you think in your health your life will be like 5 years from now physically? Let's think ahead. Let's talk spiritually. What do you think your life will be like 5 years from now spiritually? Some of you kind of know that you've got a real positive spiritual trajectory, meaning you're in the YouVersion Bible app all the time. You've even got a streak of how many days you've been studying God's word, and you're seeking God early in the morning and he's directing your steps, and you're hearing from God and he's prompting you, and you're being obedient to do what he tells you to do, and you're inviting people to church, and maybe you're fasting once or twice a year, and you're seeking God, and you're praying for big things, and you're believing God for miracles, and you're witnessing to people, and you know 5 years from now that you're going to be more like Jesus, and you're going to be more full of faith, and you're going to be more full of the Holy Spirit, and those sins that were holding you back will not be as strong in your life because 5 years from now, your spiritual trajectory is toward the things of Jesus. What do you think you'll be like 5 years from now spiritually? Some of you would say, well, I'm not really in the Word right now, and I'm not serving in the church, and I don't have a small group. And that sin that used to bother me has kind of crept up again. And when you look at your trajectory 5 years from now, you might be very disconnected from God, spiritually apathetic and lukewarm about the things of faith. Where do you think you'll be 5 years from now? Let's talk about relationally, maybe with like your friendships. And if you're married, your marriage. 5 years from now, your friendships. Some of you recognize it. You've got great, strong spiritual support and iron, sharpening iron, and you're challenging each other to become like Jesus. Or others of you might not really have any intimate friends right now. Or the ones that you have are what the Bible calls bad company. Like bad company corrupts good character and good behavior. And if you look forward 5 years from now, some of you might say, I'm going to have even better friendships and rich, meaningful relationships. Or others might say, I might actually be lonely, or I might be in jail if I keep running with these people. Where do you think it'll be 5 years from now? What about financially? Because you've got a trajectory based on the decisions you make today and the habits that are in your life. Some of you, you're generous. And you're sowing faithfully, and you're living strategically, living beneath your means, and maybe you're paying off debt little by little, and 5 years from now, you may wake up, and you're finally debt-free or almost debt-free, and you're in a job you love, and you can make a difference. And others of you, though, you're doing what most people do in the world. You're buying things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't even like. It's kind of quiet. That's a nervous laughter. You're like, do we laugh at that? I don't know, honey. Do we laugh? I don't know. And you find yourself borrowing a little more, and the debt is going up, and you're feeling the stress from it. Where do you think you'll be 5 years from now financially? What about physically? And I know this can be kind of sensitive, so I want to be just real gentle in the way I talk about it, but you probably know the trajectory. Like some of you, you're making better decisions in what you choose to eat or how you choose to exercise or what you put in your body, if it's supplements or if you're getting advice from experts, and you've got forward momentum. And 5 years from now, you might say, hey, I'm 5 years older, but I'm actually stronger, and I've been taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit and honoring God. And others of you, not so much. Maybe you're eating things you know you shouldn't eat, and eating maybe more than you should eat, and not taking care of the body, and maybe drinking too much or smoking the wrong things or staying up late or not getting wise help or counsel. And 5 years from now, you could be more run down, more healthy, no energy, and have a compromised physical body. What do you think your life will look like 5 years from now? And some of you say, well, I hope I'm doing good, and I hope I'm close to God. And I hope I got good relationships, and I hope I'm better off financially. And I want to remind you that hope is good. You never want to go through life without hope, but hope alone won't change your life. Habits will. Let me say it again. And if you want to say amen, just in case you don't know, that's a good place to do it. Hope alone will not change your life, but habits will. And think about this. For the most part, and there are exceptions, but for the most part, the habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. And you know it's true, because the habits that you had in the past shaped who you are today. And so I would ask you this, if the habits you have shape who you become, do you like the direction your habits are taking you? Let's think ahead. Let's ask for wisdom from God's word to live a life today that would honor God tomorrow. Let's look at God's word and let his truth sink in. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 7, 8, and 9. And here's what the apostle Paul said. Paul said this. He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Why? Because a man or a person will reap whatever he sows. What does it mean? If you sow something, you plant it, whatever you plant, you're going to reap a harvest that's similar to what you plant. He goes on to say, whoever sows to please their flesh, what does that mean? When Paul says flesh, he's not talking about your skin, even though you put moisturizer on it and, oh, your skin looks oh so good. What he's talking about is he's talking about your sinful nature. Whoever sows to please that which we want apart from God, our sinful nature, if you sow to please your flesh, from the flesh, you will reap destruction. In other words, it starts to destroy your life and rob you from the very blessings that God wants to give you. If you sow to your flesh, you'll reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit. In other words, whoever is living a life that is honoring to God, who's putting Jesus first in what they do, if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. And then Paul gives this very encouraging word. He says, I know it's hard sometimes. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Where do you think you'll be 5 years from now? Well, if you want to see what you're going to be reaping, let's look at what you're sowing today. We're going to look at what theologians have called the laws of sowing and reaping. What is a law? Law is always true. It's like the law of gravity. If I stood on the edge of this stage and got too close to the edge and got way out here and fell off, which way do I fall? I always fall down. You never fall up. It's a law. And this is the same thing. These are the laws of sowing and reaping. And there are three laws. The first law is this. Let's all say it aloud. All of our churches, hey, it is no fun without you. Let's say it aloud. Law number one is you reap what you sow. Law number two is you reap more than you sow. Everybody together. Number three is you reap after you sow. One more time, all of our churches. This is a participatory experience. Let's say it together. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. Let's break it down. Number one, we know you reap what you sow. For example, if you plant an apple seed, you don't get grapes, right? If you plant an apple seed, what do you get? An apple tree, technically speaking. And you got to be right, because if not, Amy will tell you, it's technically an apple tree. You plant the seed, you get the tree. And if you plant godly habits, you will get godly outcomes. And the opposite is true as well. And scripture says it in Hosea chapter 10, the Bible says this, but you have planted wickedness. And whenever you plant wickedness or you sow to the flesh, what happens? You do not reap blessings, but the Bible says you reap evil. If this sounds a little bit heavy, it's because it is, because it's true. If your habits are bad, your harvest won't be good. You know it. If you're working at a job and you've always got a bad attitude and you're late to work and you don't do what you're told and you got this half-hearted mindset and everything, whenever they go for a promotion, you're going to get overlooked. Let's say you sow some seeds of lust. And you're looking at the wrong things and you are not treating your spouse with honor and dignity and respect and you're objectifying the other person. You don't be surprised when your marriage struggles because it's a result of what you planted. If you eat anything you want, all-you-can-eat buffet, and you always get your money's worth. And you drink a six-pack of beer every weekend and wonder why you don't get a six-pack here is because you planted the wrong seeds. If you end up getting something bad when your life is bad, it is not a punishment. It is a harvest. It is a result of what you've planted. So let's use our spiritual logic. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Where are you going to be 5 years from now? What's your marriage going to be like? Your kids, your financial situation, your leadership, your life, your company, your business, your witness. Well, we get a clue by seeing the seeds that we are planting today. Because number one, you do reap what you sow. The second principle is that you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. The reason is because our God is a multiplier. He doesn't just add, he multiplies. And scripture says in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, Jesus was telling a parable and he said, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word. For those of you today that came ready to hear from God, for his word to be planted in your heart, when his word goes into good soil in your heart, what does it do? You reap a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as been planted. Why? Because you reap more than you sow. It's amazing. Think about it. If you put a seed in the ground and God waters the ground and the sun shines on it, then the seed starts to grow into a tree. And then there are fruit that comes out of the tree. And then there are more seeds. And then there are more trees. And then there's more fruit. And a whole forest can start out of one seed. Because when a seed is planted in good ground, God multiplies it and it produces even more. It's a little bit like Amy. She's a multiplier. Every time I looked at her, she got pregnant. We have 6 kids. She's a multiplier. People say, like, do you know what causes that? That's what they always ask, because I always say, yes, we do, and we're unwilling to give it up. And all God's people said, amen. That's what you say, amen, in case you're wondering. She's a multiplier. If I get whatever I give her, I give her a little bit of love, and she loves me back better than any man ever deserves. She's a multiplier. But there's 2 sides to that coin. If I give her a hard time, that's all I'm going to say. Because I've learned through the years, there's the time to stop in your sermon illustrations. She's a multiplier. You reap more than you sow. In fact, I'm going to introduce you to a book that I like. This is The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. I have 5 married children, 1 getting married, and I have all my kids read this book. I've got a little list of books, and then I have all the people that are trying to marry my kids read this book. And this book has kind of one big principle, and the author basically shows that small, smart choices plus consistency plus time equals a radical difference. Small, smart choices plus consistency plus time equals a radical difference. Planting good seeds and more good seeds, and seeds that sow to the Spirit, and more godly loving, and more godly giving, and more godly habits done consistently over time leads to exponential results. And Hardy, in his book, he uses an illustration with 3 guys. I'm going to borrow 1 portion of his, and then I'm going to do a lot of creative license with it. So if you don't like this illustration, blame me. Do not blame him. But the original good idea came from him. We're going to take 2 different guys. And we're going to say scenario number 1 and scenario number 2. Scenario number 1, I'm going to say this guy is inconsistent at church. He comes whenever there's not a football game, whenever the weather's not too nice or too bad, whenever he's kind of bored and there's nothing else going on, he comes to church. He actually is a Christian, but he feels a little guilty about that. So he's staying up late playing video games, and he starts drinking a glass of wine, 125 calories he adds to his diet. He doesn't feel as close to God. and he slips back into his own porn habit, and he's really disappointed himself. He's the first guy. Second guy, a little bit different on the other side. He's actually just consistent at church. Not a real big deal, but anytime he's in town, he goes. If he's out of town, he watches online. And that does something to him. Just that consistent hearing the word of God and being with God's people, it does something small on the inside of him. And so he actually starts to serve in church. And because he's serving in church, he doesn't stay up late playing video games, doesn't have time to drink the glass of wine, 125 calories less. So he goes to bed earlier so he can get up and serve, and he feels close to God. And when he's tempted to go back into porn, he's like, I wouldn't really need to do that. I don't want to do that because I'm close to God. And he goes on this life. And so these two guys, you see almost no noticeable difference for a while. Extra glass of wine, no wine. A little bit of church, no church. And you see almost no difference at all. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Small disciplines done consistently over time create a radical result. Small good disciplines create big good results. Small bad disciplines create bad results. After 27 months, just a little over 2 years, the inconsistent guy at church who added the glass of wine was taking 125 additional calories a day. That's what he took. Over a 27-month time, he had 117,000 more calories than the spread, and he gained 33.5 pounds. This is according to Hardy's research. He feels distant from God. He's a little embarrassed by that. He loses confidence. He struggles at work. He's overlooked for the promotion. That adds a little financial pressure at home. His wife says he's distant, and he feels distant. He goes into a little more porn. His wife catches him doing that, and his whole marriage and life feels like it's shaken. How did he get there? He didn't get there with one bad decision. It was dozens of very, very small bad decisions consistently over time. The other guy, he goes to church, and he's serving in church, and he's just growing spiritually, and he's plugged in. And he actually cuts back on calories. He stops drinking a soft drink, and now he's got 125 less calories. The other guy has 125 more. One guy gains 33.5 pounds. This guy loses 33.5 pounds, and there's a big spread. He actually feels confident because he's hearing from God, and he's in God's word. And so he feels better physically. He actually gets promoted at work, and he has a little extra money, and he starts to be generous with people. And as he gives, God blesses him, and he goes on vacation, and his marriage is more intimate, and he has 6 kids. Just joking, okay? But his marriage is different, and he has a growing spiritual impact. And why is his life different? It's not because he made a few big right decisions. He made small, consistent, wise, God-honoring decisions over time. Now, obviously, a lot of what I just told you is subjective. The part about the weight is not. You add a certain amount of calories, you take away a certain, and suddenly you've got a 67-pound difference based on just one small decision you make every day. And that's why I want to tell you, according to God's word, it is not what you do occasionally that makes the difference. It's what you do consistently. And I want to say it to you this way, with just a bunch of love in my heart from a guy old enough to know the power of compounding spiritual faithfulness. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Because it's a law in God's word. Number one, you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. And number three is frustrating, but it's very true. And that is you reap when? You reap after you sow. In other words, you sow in one season, but you don't get to reap until another season. You may sow in the fall, but you don't get to reap until the spring. And that's the very reason why so many of us get discouraged, because we try to do the right thing, but we don't see progress fast enough. You know this. You say, I'm going to pray and read the Bible every day, and I'm going to be a spiritual powerhouse, and I'm going to be close to God. And so for 5 days straight, you read the Bible and you pray, and nothing's really different in your life. This isn't working. You say, all right, I'm going to go to the gym. And I go to the gym, and I walk every day for a whole week, and you still can't run a mile. Why? Didn't wait long enough. Or you decide, I'm going to get out of debt. I owe so much on my college student loans, and so I'm not going to drink coffee all month long. And so you save $100 by not buying expensive coffee, and now you owe $37,400 on your debt, not $37,500. You go, this isn't working. And you wrongly conclude that small decisions don't matter that much. And I want you to know that our lives are essentially the sum total of the small decisions that we make. In every action, to quote James Clear, in every action you take, you're choosing direction. Direction determines identity. You are voting a small vote on who you will become. Whatever it is that we plant, we will reap. The habits that we have today, if they are God-honoring, it creates a more God-honoring life in the future. If our habits are not God-honoring, the Bible says we reap destruction. That's harsh, but it's true. So, when are you successful? When do you honor God? Do you honor God in the future when your marriage is finally healed and you've recovered and you've forgiven and things are great? Do you honor God when you finally are in shape and taking care of your body? Do you honor God when you finally paid off all the debt years later and you're finally debt-free? Is that when you are successful? No. You are successful when you honor God in the small things today. You are successful when you are faithful to God and what he calls you to do today. And we don't judge the success of the day by the harvest that we reap, but by the seeds that we sow. We put the right seed in the ground today. And so when Paul says it, he's stern, but he's loving. He says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. The devil's trying to lie to you. The devil's telling that what you want, you need to get now. But God says, no, you be faithful today and the next day and the next day and plant the seeds of righteousness and you will reap a harvest beyond what you can imagine. Because you do. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow and you reap after you sow. And then what happens? This is where it gets fun. Your hard work and your disciplines and your faithfulness and your sacrifices that nobody else sees, but you know them deep down, they are not being wasted. No, they're being stored up. It's a little bit like if you heat some water. If you take some water and you put some heat underneath it, the water starts to warm up. And after a while, the water may warm up to 80 degrees and the water gets a little hotter and it's now 100 degrees. And then the water is 122 degrees, and then it's 144 degrees, and then it keeps getting hotter, it's 200 degrees. When the water gets to be 211 degrees, what do you have? Hot water. At 211 degrees, you have hot water. But at one more degree, at 212 degrees, somebody might want to clap because it could be more fun if you do. At 212 degrees, you do not have hot water. You have boiling water, and it is just 1 degree that makes the difference after step by step by step by step of faithfulness. And one day you kind of wake up and go, I feel like I'm on fire. I'm boiling with spiritual passion. And someone else looks at you and go, you're nothing but an overnight success. You're just lucky. And you're going to look on, you're going to know, no. You weren't lucky, you were faithful. And you were consistent. You were putting God first when nobody knew what you were doing. You were denying your flesh when everybody thought you were weird. They won't see you overcoming the self-doubt when the devil tells you you can't, but you say, no, devil, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. They don't see you renewing your mind and taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ, and they don't see you on your knees. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God and you're calling all angels out to do the work of God and they don't see you binding up evil forces and telling them to get away from your children and standing strong and loving your kids when others would be hard on them. And they don't see the time that you failed and you showed back up and you failed and you came back again. And they don't know the early mornings and the late nights, and they don't see you enduring criticism, and they don't know the grind and the price that you paid and the perseverance and the grit and the sheer determination to hang on to God when you wanted to let go. They don't know the small, consistent disciplines. And that's why I want to tell somebody, don't stop putting him first. Don't stop seeking him through his word. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop serving even when they don't appreciate you. Don't stop loving even when they take you for granted. Because you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. I want you to think ahead. What is your life? What is your leadership? What is your family? What is your body, your finances? What's it going to be like 5 years from now? If you don't like what you're reaping right now, change what you're sowing, because hope won't change your life. Habits will. I promise you, it will be the things that no one else sees in your life that bring about the results that everybody else wants. It's not going to be what you do occasionally. It's going to be what you do consistently that makes the difference. And that's why I believe that God wants to say to someone here, let us not become weary in doing good. Stay faithful to Jesus. Keep pressing in. Keep believing for more. Keep serving with all of your heart. Keep loving recklessly the way that you've been loved. Keep preaching faith to yourself. Keep renewing your mind with the truth of God's word. Keep loving people even though they don't seem like they ever want to be reached. Don't become weary in doing good, because it's a law of God. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. I did not do my job if I made it sound easy. It's never easy. It's not overnight. But who are you? If you are in Christ, you are redeemed. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven. If you are in Christ, you have the same spirit dwelling within you that raised Christ from the dead. You have overcomer power inside of you. You have the power of the risen Christ dwelling in you. God's word is true. It is true for you. And you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. It's been an honor to share God's word with your church. Would you pray? Father, thank you for your power, for your word, for your truth. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us, show us the righteous seeds to plant, that we could reap a harvest that would glorify you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen.